We'll be right back. tribute not only to him, but also to the great Jimmy Blanton. There's been a lot of bass players who I've personally been inspired by. I would have to say one of the first ones is Wellman Brough, one of the first walking bass players who played with Duke Ellington in the late 20s. After him would have to be Walter Page, who played with the great Count Basie. Big Tone. Those cats didn't use amps back then. This was their amplifier right here. And you hear them loud and clear, and you hear that pulse when you hear those old recordings, especially like Walter Page, who played with one of the greatest rhythm sections that existed, with Count Basie himself on piano. And you had Papa Joe Jones on drums. And you had Walter Page. And you had Freddie Green strumming away, not with an amp, but just kind of strumming away on the guitar. And then after them, after Walter Page, came Jimmy Blanton, who I would have to say was the most revolutionary bass player. In 3 years, 1938 to 1941, he changed the entire role and possibilities of the bass. Then after him came Oscar Pettiford. You know, and there's many other bass players. These are the ones I kind of look to because they had the qualifications that I really like about the instrument: sound, pulse, tone, these things that we like when we hear a musician. Like, a lot of times we like Coltrane. A lot of us don't like Coltrane because he was able to play fast and play all those notes. But we like the sound that came out of his instrument, that thing that distinguished him from other musicians of his time and after that. Of course he could play fast, he can play over any chord change, but he was referred to as the person who had these sheets of sound. And then after Oscar Pettiford, I have to say Ray Brown, who really took it up another notch. He was a great soloist, he was a great trio player, he was a great big band player. He wrote music as well, and he had a long career. He was married to Ella Fitzgerald for a short time. And he really changed the role of the bass as well. Then after him would have to come the man of them all, Paul Chambers, who played with Miles Davis in the 50s, led his own groups and trios in the 60s, and then Ron Carter. So there's like a whole legacy history. The instrument itself, like all instruments, it's like law. It's all built on precedence. It's like what came before it to make what exists now even better and stronger and more prolific. I think that when you look at the history of this instrument up into modern times, you've got great bass players like Christian McBride and Bob Hurst. These people have taken that entire history of the bass players that came before them and taken it to another level. And that doesn't just exist on this, but it exists on all the other instruments. Before we close, there's a great bass player who's here. Dave Ewell, he's still here? Hmm. The tradition of this art form and this music is this sort of camaraderie where cats show up to your gig and you let them play. And it's a way of sharing the music. It's not a way of competing by no means, but it's a way of sharing the music. It's a way of introducing cats who may not have heard of different musicians play before you. This is someone who I greatly admire, and he plays with a lot of different bands. He's in school right now. He took time out of one of the most busiest schedules as a musician, traveling the world, playing with different artists to go back to school and study architecture. Is it architecture?
Business.
Oh, business. Close enough. He studied business. So I admire that sort of commitment and that sort of vision as well. So I'm gonna let him sit in on the last piece. And once again, please welcome to the bandstand, Mr. Dave Ewell.
Yeah.